This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
And it's Friday. Welcome to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is the president of the Family Research Council, and I am the program's producer. And it's great to be with you once again. Today, we're talking again, tax reform. Will it cross the finish line? It appears so. We'll talk with White House Deputy Press Secretary Hogan Gidley in just a moment. And today is Bill of Rights Day. How many of you can actually name what they are? Interesting, when you go to kind of the man or woman on the street, about 35% can name only a couple of them. We'll talk with Mark Pitano, a constitutional conservative and attorney, about that. And also, one university president says we shouldn't be all that surprised at the moral breakdown in regards to the many sexual assault charges. And you know who he is because he's been a guest host here from time to time, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. He says our sinful nature should cause us not to be surprised about such things, even though they are disappointing and sad and so forth. And towards the end of the program, I've got a special surprise for you won't want to miss. And right now, we continue our matching grant giving program. Because of a generous donor, all gifts will be doubled. $10 becomes $20. $50 becomes $100, and so on. You can call 1-800-225-4008. We have folks monitoring the phones during the program, and donations can also be made at tonyperkins.com. Again, that phone number is 1-800-225-4008. We depend on your generosity to make this program possible. Well, Washington Watch is learning that the Republican tax bill is done. The language was finalized late last night. The bill text should be released later this evening, maybe even during this program. Yesterday, Senator Rubio provided just a little bit of drama for us, but today he's saying something different. Let's listen.
I remember when Mike Lee and I first started talking about this on the Senate side a couple years ago, there were still some people that were very kind of lukewarm about the concept of doing this because everyone was focused on the growth side of tax reform. And by the way, so are we. So we believe growing the economy helps these working families with not just more jobs, but jobs that pay more. But we have to specifically target some assistance to them as well in the tax code because the most important institution in all of society is the family. And the most important job that any of us will ever do is to raise children and be parents. I don't care what title you have or what organization you run, the most influential and important job you will ever have is the raising of your children. And we know that today, from an economic standpoint, it costs more money than ever to raise a child.
Well, Senator Rubio would like to see more on that child tax credit, which we've talked about on this program a number of times. With us now is Hogan Gidley to discuss what's in and what's out. Hogan is the White House Deputy Press Secretary. Hogan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
Well, you getting ready for Christmas and maybe a little break, or are you going to be busy still?
Goodness gracious. I don't think it ever stops up here. I've been here for about 2 months and coming from South Carolina where everything is a lot slower, as you can imagine. But it has just been such a blessing, and I love it so much. It's so fast-paced and so nonstop, but I am looking forward to at least a day or maybe a half day where I can take a breath and reflect and then prepare to move into the new year.
Right. Well, I believe this is the first time we've had you on the program, and it's an honor to have you here. It's my understanding, once the conferees sign the report, as they were scheduled to do this morning, it's locked in. There's no last-minute deals or amendments or fixes or tweaks. Tell us about it.
Well, it looks pretty good right now. As you know, and news has been coming out, it looks like Senator Corker and Senator Rubio are both yeses to this, which is wonderful. The president, when Senator Rubio made his position known yesterday, you heard the president very confident in that eventually Senator Rubio would get to a yes. It appears as though that has occurred. The president's leadership in this has just been monumental, and as you know from the outset, your listeners would understand there are basically three things the president had as kind of non-negotiables, as priorities, and that was you had to make the tax code itself simpler and easier for people to understand. 90% of people across this country actually pay someone to do their taxes. That's an exorbitant amount of cost and money that shouldn't be there. Two is obviously a middle-class tax cut, something that hadn't happened for a long time in this country. The middle class need it. They deserve it. And that was something the president said was a must-have in this bill. It's there. And thirdly, of course, is the corporate tax cut. We had the highest corporate tax rate, as you know, in the industrialized world. It was crushing business, not allowing our companies to thrive or hire people in this country. People are out of work. And now just the thought of this, just the rumor that this would actually happen, the economy's been soaring. We've actually seen a movement in wages for the first time in 30 years as well. And that's because people thought this was going to happen. I'm so excited to see what actually will occur once the bill passes. We're hopeful that there won't be any more hiccups. It looks like everything's looking good now. They could vote on it here in a little bit. So we're watching and waiting and very excited because, you know, we wanted tax cuts for Christmas for the folks across this country. It looks like that's going to happen, and this president's leadership got it there. And, you know, he has been the voice for the American people. And I will say, as I wrap up this part here, having those families to the White House earlier this week and the grand foyer there with the Christmas trees behind him, the visual was outstanding. But he had the families up there, and he let each family go to the microphone and tell them how a tax cut would actually help help their lives. And all the naysayers and all the rumors and all the detractors who would say this is just for the corporate folks and just for the rich, there were a lot of middle to low income people standing there around the president saying thank you, because, you know, a few thousand dollars here and there means a lot to most families in this country. And that's what they're going to get in this tax cut. And, you know, it's just an exciting time right now.
Well, we say around here, the legislative process it's messy. You know, it's a messy process, and tax reform is hard. That's why we haven't seen it in 30-some years.
That's exactly right. And I will say, as you probably understand as well, I mean, the last time we saw a really surge in the economy was another president who tinkered with the tax code 30 years ago. You know, that was when Reagan did it. So, you know, we're excited about that and, you know, looking forward to actually giving people a good Christmas gift this year.
Well, you're on the inside here of what's going on. Did Senator Rubio get what he was looking for? He wanted to see a greater expanding of the child tax credit.
Right. I don't want to go too far down that road and explain the negotiating process, but I will say, you know, we worked with Senator Rubio from the get-go on expanding the child tax credit. Now, we thought that was important, and we were able to get that accomplished. I mean, you know, you mentioned it's been 30 years since we've seen a real tax reform, a real tax cut like this, and what we were hopeful for was that once this bill was put in front of them, that it would be very interesting to see if Republicans or any Republican would decide to vote against the biggest tax cut in the last 30 years. You know what I mean? It was one of those things where you know, these Republicans came here to do a job, and they have worked hand in glove with the president on this, you know, following his leadership in the negotiations. And it looks like the senators who had concerns, their concerns were met. And the president who outlined what he would like to see in this bill, that was also met. So it looks like everybody wins. And at the end of the day, it's about people out there. And they're the ones who are hurting, and they're the ones who've been kicked in the teeth and gut punched for the last 30 years. And it looks like they're going to see some relief. And we're just thrilled.
And this is what got President Trump elected, you know, the art of the deal. He's a deal guy, and he knows how to negotiate and get people in. Apparently, we're supposed to see the text here. Some are saying around 5:30. Do you know if that's come out yet?
I haven't seen it come across my desk yet, but that doesn't mean it hadn't come out yet. It could. I mean, like I said, they were moving things pretty quickly. But, I mean, just imagine how – think about this. You just said how messy the process is, and it is. But – how refreshing. And only in Washington, D.C. would it be a surprise that someone who ran on a campaign promise would actually come through in the first few months of their term in office. And it's moved very quickly, so I can see it coming out here very shortly.
And also, what's the timeline? So we possibly get the text. What happens next?
Well, you know, again, I've heard kind of different things. It depends on how it comes. It depends on how long it takes for the processes in place in the House and the Senate. The legal teams have to go through it to make sure it's all worded properly and that there are no mistakes. The good news is you don't have to pass this before you know what's in it. They actually know ahead of time, which is a nice change of pace here in Washington, D.C. But they'll go through it. It'll be some time. But as you heard, if we can get this thing taken care of, the president confirmed the other day via the IRS that people will start seeing more in their paychecks in February, and that's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yes, it is. And you know, we have a large, mostly conservative listening audience. For the folks that are listening, give them some tools to help, you know, the critics out there, and they hear it in their places of work. They hear it from maybe their own family members and the people who say, that claim this is only going to help the wealthy and this is just another big program for the rich. Help provide some tools to confront that argument.
Well, the average family is going to receive around $2,000 as a tax cut. That's a lot of money to a lot of folks, and sure is a lot to me. And that's one thing. But you hear that a lot, that it's just a corporate tax cut. It's just the corporations, the big dollar folks, and that's just not the case. And in fact, even someone like the Washington Post, where you know, they're no friend to Republicans by any stretch, and Democrats came out and trotted out their same old lines. It's just a tax cut for the wealthy, and you know, it's not for the middle class. And then they had to give that claim for Pinocchio's because the middle class actually is getting a tax cut. And I don't know when the Democrats became so anti-business. And if you think about it, 55 million Americans have 401ks, 35 million Americans have pension plans, and 25 million Americans have IRAs. All of that is affected by the stock market. So when you say, well, the Main Street or Wall Street never trickles down to Main Street, it absolutely does. I was talking to one of my friends just yesterday in South Carolina, and their stocks had done so well, their IRA had done well, and they were able to take a little money and set it aside and put down on a truck and get a new pickup truck. Those are the types of things. And of course, when you're buying pickup trucks, you have people who build pickup trucks and people who create jobs, and it's just great news across the country for average people. And you know, the folks who continue to say this isn't popular, you've seen the numbers. It's a 30% is people how they feel about this tax plan. No American wants it. I guarantee you, 99% of Americans, when confronted with the question, the proper question of would you like to keep more of your money, the answer is yes. And when you take apart the tax bill and you ask those same respondents in that poll, I mean, you guys poll over at FRC, you understand this. You ask them, would you like to keep more of your money? Absolutely. Would you like to increase the child tax credit? Absolutely. Double the standard deduction. Absolutely. The pieces of the bill are extremely popular. That just shows you that the coverage of the bill has been horrible.
Well, Hogan Gidley, thank you so much. We're out of time. You have a blessed Christmas. Thank you for squeezing us in. We know you're busy, but you've brought some really good insights, and we look forward to talking with you the next time.
Anytime. Merry Christmas and God bless.
God bless you and Merry Christmas. Well, folks, that was Hogan Gidley. He is the Deputy Press Secretary in the White House. Works with Sarah Sanders. Privileged to have him on the program. It's Bill of Rights Day. When we return, we'll discuss why the Bill of Rights still matter. We'll talk with Mark Patano when we return.
This Christmas season, give with purpose and meaning, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. At Family Research Council, our mission is to promote these three core values in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. We are working to ensure that our religious liberty is defended in the public square, that human life at all stages is protected, and that family values are promoted in our country's public policies. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Give with purpose this Christmas season. Text FRC to 444-999. Again, that is text FRC to 444-999. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC and our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony's the president of the Family Research Council. The Family Research Council powers this very program, Washington Watch. And, you know, we're still in our end-of-year matching grant program, and we appreciate your support. A generous donor is making it possible, and I love it when this happens, because when I give to these kind of programs, it's like my $50 gift becomes $100, or a $100 gift becomes $200, or a $500 gift becomes $1,000. Give us a call right now. We've got folks on standby ready to take your call. 1-800-225-4008. That's 1-800-225-4008. Or you can go to tonyperkins.com. Your gifts are appreciated and quite frankly necessary to provide this program. Well, today is Bill of Rights Day. On this day in 1791, Virginia became the last state to ratify the Bill of Rights, making the first 10 amendments to the Constitution law and completing the revolutionary reforms begun by the Declaration of Independence. And in 1941, Congress authorized President Franklin D. Roosevelt to issue a proclamation designating December 15th as Bill of Rights Day, a day we've honored ever since. And how many of those Bill of Rights do you know? And I was watching a clip on a news program this morning, and it was kind of sad. Only a few people could name maybe one or two. Well, with us now is Mark Pantano, constitutional conservative writer. He's an attorney, political commentator, and author of Destroying Trump, The Left's Obsession to Take Down the President, and what it means for America. Mark, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks a lot, Russ. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, the first one most people seem to know, the first Bill of Rights, which is freedom of speech. Are you surprised that I think I saw a poll, some 37% of Americans can't name any of the rights guaranteed by the Constitution?
No, unfortunately, I'm not surprised at all. And I'm glad I missed whatever segment it was that you saw.
You would have been frustrated.
It would have depressed me for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Well, we've got freedom of speech. Let's just go through them real quick. Freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, freedom of religion. These are topics we talk about here on Washington Watch all the time. Freedom to petition government for a redress or grievances, the right to bear arms, the right to due process, the right against self-incrimination, and the right to a jury trial. Well, Mark, why were these necessary?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I guess we need to back up a little bit. And, you know, we weren't always living under a constitution in this country. After the Revolution, we operated under the Articles of Confederation. And those didn't really work too well for us. We had a lot of problems. And it became clear that we needed to have some changes. And so they started working on the Constitution that we have now. The problem was there wasn't a lot of agreement about the Constitution either. There was a large faction called the Anti-Federalists who opposed the Constitution that was being proposed back then. And so you had the Federalists who were arguing in favor of the new Constitution and the Anti-Federalists who opposed it. And the real sticking point was that the Anti-Federalists did not think that there was enough protection of individual rights in the new Constitution that was being proposed. And so they demanded additional safeguards for our individual liberties. And the end result was the Bill of Rights, which ultimately passed in 1791.
Mm-hmm. Well, why are the Bill of Rights still important today?
Wow. Boy, are they important. And again, let me reference back to the debate that was going back on at the time. The Federalists, they didn't think that a Bill of Rights was necessary because of the way they constructed the Constitution. Basically, their argument was, hey, the government can only exercise the authority we give them. So if it doesn't say that they can do something under the Constitution, then they can't do it. Mm-hmm. And so the Bill of Rights is a further check against what the government can and can't do. And it specifically lays out all these things in these first 10 amendments that says the government cannot do these things. Now, if we did not have those 10 amendments, what we call the Bill of Rights, you can imagine how the government by now would have trampled all over a lot of these rights. Just take, for example, the Second Amendment. You know, that's in the news a lot. It's in the news now. But at the time, the Federalists didn't think that that was necessary. And if there was not a Second Amendment, what do you think the state of gun ownership or gun rights would be in this country?
Which is the freedom of assembly.
The Second Amendment. I'm talking about the Second Amendment. That's the right to keep and bear arms.
Yes.
And if we didn't have that specifically enumerated protection in the Bill of Rights, you can imagine there would be states in which it would be completely illegal to possess a firearm. So in a very real sense, the Bill of Rights impacts us on a daily basis. The Second Amendment is just one example.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk with you about is that nowadays differing judicial interpretations of the Bill of Rights regularly stir controversy, and you see that, right?
Oh, wow. Does it ever, yeah.
And we see a lot of this, what we call trying to legislate from the bench, right?
Exactly. Let me give you an example of that, if I might.
Sure.
Take, for example, in the First Amendment, the Establishment Clause.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the Bill of Rights says that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And we all know by plain meaning of that what that means. It means that the government can't set up a state religion.
And we've got about 20 seconds, Mark.
Okay, well, the courts have reinterpreted that, and they basically apply their own definition to that. And instead of you cannot establish a religion, the courts say you cannot endorse a religion. And that just opens the door to further regulation and further court interpretation, trampling on our rights in that regard.
Well, Mark Pantano, thank you so much for being on Washington Watch. We've got your information on FRC.org. Go there, folks. You can learn more about him. Thank you so much for giving some clarity on this issue, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me. Have a good one.
You too. Well, a university president claims the recent slew of sexual harassment charges, all this was, quote, as predictable as the sunrise. And now the left is calling for a boycott. Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, will be here to explain when we return.
Spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day by working to advance family values in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. The internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. Learn more at frc.org/internships.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Da, 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 da. Hey folks, Russ Jones on Washington Watch sitting in for Tony Perkins. Merry Christmas. Hope you're doing well. It's Friday. You got all your shopping done. Today is if you shop online, I noticed today a lot of these sites, it's free shipping day. I went to, I don't know, half a dozen sites and it was free shipping day. So, and then I saw, well, it's kind of a thing that these digital companies, online shopping companies came up with. So if you are like me, you know, there's still plenty of time, right? It's free shipping day. Well, this past few weeks, there have been mountains of claims of sexual assault from Hollywood to Congress. Charges of sexual harassment and misconduct have led to firings and resignations. Well, joining us now is a friend of the program, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, guest host of this very show, Washington Watch, from time to time, and author of Not a Daycare. And in a recent column, Teaching Lechery and Getting Lechers, Dr. Piper addresses the topic and says we shouldn't be surprised of the shameful behavior. Dr. Piper, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Russ. It's good to have the roles reversed here.
Hey, do you have my present yet?
The one that you sent me or the one I'm supposed to get you? What are you referring to?
I'm just saying it's free shipping day.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll keep that in mind.
Hey, lay out your perspective because you know you're always so vague, which I love about you. You're not. You're very clear and articulate. Tell us your point. Which you've gotten a lot of pushback, and you had a great segment on Tucker last night on Fox.
Yeah, I wrote an article and I titled it "Teach Lechery and Get Lechers." And my point is basically this: ideas have consequences, and what we teach in our classrooms will inevitably bear itself out in our culture and the behavior of our populace, of the men and women that live in our culture. And in fact, if any educator cared to dispute that, why in the world are they even doing their job? Of course mm-hmm. we believe that our ideas have consequences. Of course mm-hmm. we believe that what we teach is going to change the belief and the behavior of the pupil under our charge. So My point is this. When you teach sexual amorality, you're going to get an immoral culture. When you teach sexual license, you're going to get licentiousness. When you teach young men and young women that sex is recreational rather than moral, why are you surprised when they behave accordingly? So the sexual assault and the sexual misdeeds that are parading themselves on the nightly news, from Matt Lauer down to Harvey Weinstein, is as predictable as the sunrise. Why are we surprised at this? This is what we've been teaching for decades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, garbage in, garbage out. The chickens are coming home to roost. And our schools, our nation's schools, need to be called to account on this. And we at least need to admit that it's possible. It's possible that our educational establishment is complicit in this problem.
Well, your friends down there in the in Oklahoma, boy, they didn't like that, did they? Did they really call for a boycott?
Yeah. Keep in mind, I wrote this article for the Washington Times, a national newspaper and mm-hmm. a national audience. And here's another lesson of good teaching. You should always teach your students when they're learning how to read within context.
Yes.
Context is king. I don't care whether you're reading a newspaper or reading the Bible. You read it in context. You never take things out of context, because when you do, you're either intentionally manipulating that information or you're missing the truth of the message. So the context of what I wrote, national critique, national audience, national newspaper. Well, the local newspaper got a hold of it and reprinted it. And the local district, the Bartlesville Education Association, which is the collective bargaining group for the teachers union here, actually was so upset with me calling our national schools to account that they wrote a letter to the editor of the local newspaper calling for a boycott of our teacher education candidates here in the public school district.
Mm-hmm.
Because how dare I
yeah.
challenge the educational elite within this particular debate.
Yes. Well, one of the things you say in your column is that we act as if something, and I'm quoting you, has gone wrong, but yet we continue to teach our kids to do what is wrong. So that therefore we should not be surprised when this kind of behavior happens, even as disappointing as it is.
Absolutely. And this isn't to suggest that anybody listening who's a good teacher in a good school district in a good school is somehow being criticized by my voice or my concern. I realize that we've got hundreds of good teachers trying to fight the good fight, and a handful of good schools and districts still trying to fight the good fight. But are my detractors unaware of Jay, Oklahoma, where they're teaching middle school students how to engage in oral sex safely to avoid getting STDs? Are they unaware of Edmond, Oklahoma, where the high school curriculum includes a reading list that includes erotic rape literature? Are they unaware of Cherry Creek and Fox Ridge in Colorado? Are they unaware of the sex weeks that are sponsored at Yale University and UCLA and Berkeley? I could go on and on. We could take a whole program discussing the way sex has been the sex education that we've been propagating for the last 30, 40, 50 years. And are my detractors unaware of that? And if they are, they've been living in a cave. And if they aren't, how dare they suggest that this isn't part of the problem?
Well, Dr. Piper, thank you so much. We appreciate you here at Washington Watch for speaking truth. And you just keep shouting it. You have a blessed Christmas. And thank you so much for being one of our partners and being with us here today.
Merry Christmas to you, Russ.
Merry Christmas. Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Well, I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. Hey, it's that special time of year. We've got people on standby, 1-800-225-4008 or tonyperkins.com. Love to hear from you with that special Christmas donation. When we return, I have a special treat for you. Don't go away. Make sure you stand by. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? And are you looking for an internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain an invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that is frc.org/internships.
Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC in our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10.
I love that song.
Once again, with
you're listening to
silver lanes aglow.
Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And I want to continue a conversation that Tony has started this week about our traditions at Christmas time. We all have various traditions that we like and embrace. And one of them for me is reading a little book entitled A Cup of Christmas Tea. And in my years in ministry, I've read this during candlelight services on Christmas Eve. I read it on Christmas Eve, turn down the lights and gather the family and sit by the fire. And if you've not heard of this, it's written by Tom Haig. It's a delightful little book. And this has been one of my traditions for 20-some years, and I'd like to read this to you. And then we're going to take your calls and just talk about it, because for me, the holidays are about relationships. Spending time with me is the greatest gift that you can give me. And this book, A Cup of Christmas Tea, embraces that idea. The log was in the fireplace, all spiced and set to burn. At last the yearly Christmas race was in the clubhouse turn. The cards were in the mail, all the gifts beneath the tree. And 30 days reprieve till Visa could catch up with me. And though smug satisfaction seemed to be the order of the day, something still was nagging me and would not go away. A week before, I got a letter from my old great aunt, and it read, "Of course I'll understand completely if you can't. But if you find you have some time, how wonderful if we could have a little chat and share a cup of Christmas tea." She'd had a mild stroke that year, which crippled her left side. Though housebound now, my folks had said it hadn't hurt her pride. They said she'd love to see you. What a nice thing it would be for you to go and maybe have a cup of Christmas tea. But boy, I didn't want to go. Oh, what a bitter pill to see an old relation and how far she'd gone downhill. I remembered her as vigorous, as funny, and as bright. I remembered Christmas Eve's when she regaled us half the night. I didn't want to risk all that. I didn't want the pain. I didn't need to be depressed. I didn't need the strain. And what about my brother? Why not him? She's his aunt, too. I thought I had it justified, but then before I knew, the reasons not to go I so painstakingly had built were cracking wide and crumbling in an acid rain of guilt. I put on my boots and gloves and cap, shame stinging every pore, and armed with squeegee, sand, and map, I went out my front door. I drove in from the suburbs to the old part of town. The pastels of the newer homes gave way to gray and brown. I had that disembodied feeling as the car pulled up and stopped beside the wooden house that held the Christmas cup. How I got up to the door, I really couldn't tell. I watched my hand rise up and press the button of the bell. I waited, aided by my nervous rocking to and fro, and just as I was thinking I should turn around and go, I heard the rattle of the china in the hutch against the wall. The triple beat of 2 feet and a crutch came down the hall. The clicking of the door latch and the sliding of the bolt in a little swollen struggle popped it open with a jolt. She stood there, pale and tiny, looking fragile as an egg. I forced myself from staring at the brace that held her leg. And though her thick bifocals seemed to crack and spread her eyes, their milky and refracted depths lit up with young surprise. "Come in, come in," she laughed the words. She took me by the hand, and all my fears dissolved away as if by her command. We went inside, and then before I knew how to react, before my eyes and ears and nose was Christmas past, alive, intact. The scent of candied oranges, of cinnamon and pine, the antique wooden soldiers in their military line, the porcelain nativity I'd always loved so much, the Dresden and the crystal I'd been told I mustn't touch. My spirit fairly bolted like a child out of class and danced among the ornaments of calico and glass. Like magic, I was 6 again, deep in Christmas spell, steeped in the million memories the boy inside knew well. And there among old Christmas cards so lovingly displayed, a special place of honor for the ones we kids had made. And there, beside her rocking chair, the center of it all, my great aunt stood and said how nice it was I'd come to call. I sat and rattled on about the weather and the flu. She listened very patiently, then smiled and said, "What's new?" Thoughts and words began to flow. I started making sense. I lost the phony breeziness I use when I get tense. She was still passionately interested in everything I did. She was positive, encouraging, like when I was a kid. Simple generalities still sent her into fits. She demanded the specifics, the particulars, the bits. We talked about the limitations that she'd had to face. She spoke with utter candor and with humor and good grace. Then, defying the reality of crutch and straightened knee, on wings of hospitality, she flew to brew the tea. I sat alone with feelings that I hadn't felt in years. I looked around at Christmas through a thick, hot blur of tears. And the candles and the holly she'd arranged on every shelf, the impossibly good cookies she still somehow baked herself. But these rich, tactile memories became quite pale and thin when measured by the Christmas my great aunt kept deep within. Her body halved and nearly spent, but my great aunt was whole. I saw a Christmas miracle the triumph of a soul. The triple beat of 2 feet in a crutch came down the hall. The rattle of the china in the hutch against the wall. She poured 2 cups. She smiled, and then she handed one to me. And then we settled back and had a cup of Christmas tea. That's A Cup of Christmas Tea by Tom Haig. I hope that meant something to you like it has to me. Give us a call. 1-866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And by the way, we are standing by the phones, ready to receive your donation. 1-800, it's a different number, 1-800-225-4008, or go to tonyperkins.com. Give us a call. What are your Christmas traditions? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And you know, I grew up in Kansas City, and I remember one of the other traditions is going down to the Country Club Plaza on Thanksgiving after eating all that big meal, on Thanksgiving evening, they turn on the lights, and all of the Country Club Plaza would light up, and it's beautiful. If you've never been, it's one of the largest outdoor shopping areas in the world, actually, with statues and fountains that have been imported from Europe. It's just a beautiful area, and another one of those traditions I remember well. Share some of your traditions here. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and it's always a pleasure, and I always look forward to this last segment as well, to hear from you and to see what's going on. And you know, we're getting down to the stretch, and we're getting to a place that, you know, the birth is coming. The anticipation is great. Let's go to Olive Branch, Mississippi. Nikki, how are you?
Hi, Russ. How are you doing?
I'm good. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed that book. It really meant a lot to me, because time really does matter with family. I lost my father 2 weeks ago. Mm. I was blessed enough to be able to come live with him for the past 6 months. And he got to be around his only grandchild, who'll be 2 next month, and me in the last days. And he's not suffering. He's with the Lord now.
Amen.
In his perfect body.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Really blessed me, though. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks so much for calling. Dana in Missouri, the Show Me State, my home state. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. Hi. We have, I'm happy to be on. I'm so blessed by the program.
Thank you.
We have a family tradition at our house. My husband always reads the Christmas story out of the Bible. We do the chronological Bible Christmas story. And at first it was a pushback, and now it wouldn't be Christmas without it.
Right.
And then when we go to families, over the years it's evolved. At my mother's house, we do a fish Christmas at both houses. I'm from a broken home, and we do salmon at my mother's house, and my dad fishes all year, and we do crappie and bass Christmas at my dad's house.
Crappie, of course. I mean, you're in Missouri. Yeah. I used to fish for crappie at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Yep, and that's where he fishes. He actually just retired and bought a little place down there.
You know, I grew up on a boat, actually. Half of my life I lived in on a boat on the Lake of the Ozarks. And in our boat slip there, the guy next door would actually sink Christmas trees. He would have a Christmas tree, a real Christmas tree, on his boat, and he would sink them every year. So right there on our dock was this massive crappie bed, because they loved to hang out. You know, there was 15 years of Christmas trees down at the bottom of the lake there. Well, Dana, thanks so much.
That's probably where we get some of our crappie from.
Thanks so much for calling. We appreciate it. Lloyd in Moran, Kansas, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I was saying earlier, when I listened to the story, it reminded me so much of my great aunt. And she didn't have any children, but she was always so thankful when anyone came. And she, too, put on the water for the hot tea. And she had many things around that just reminded you of a simpler time.
Yes.
The love was always there, and that story was such a treasure. Thank you for playing it.
Oh, you're welcome. And you're right. It was. It did seem like a simpler time. I think that's what I miss. Sometimes life and all of the technology seems to make, it's supposed to make life easier, but it feels like it makes life more complicated because we're supposed to always be available.
Yes, we just need to slow down and enjoy the gift that God gave to us, and that's each other.
Yes. Well, Lloyd, thank you so much. You have a blessed Christmas. Thank you. Let's go to David in Conroe, Texas. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, sir. I really enjoyed your program today, and I just want to say what a blessing you are for all that you have said today.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. What's one of your traditions?
My traditions? I really don't have a tradition. I mean, my family has been in flux for so many years. So I would love to start a tradition, but I don't know if that's possible. I'm going to try to start one. But all I really wanted to say was the Christmas tea story you just read.
Yes, sir.
That touched me. Way down deep, and I feel down in the deepest parts of my soul,
yes,
that is what Christmas should be. It's it's not about all the glitz and glamour. It's the realness, and I think that's the way people should be every single day.
Well, David, I'm going to pray that this year you find a tradition that's meaningful to you, even if it's by yourself. You know, you don't need somebody else to justify whatever that is, but just go find that thing that's meaningful to you and embrace it and take it on, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for calling Washington Watch. Let's go to Chase in Mobile, Alabama. Chase, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on your show. It's a real blessing to me. I make it a point to listen to it every chance I get.
Wonderful.
I was just going to share a quick Christmas tradition that we have. I'm raising twin girls, and, well, actually, they're raised now. They're in their 20s, but ever since they were 10, we get up, and after breakfast, we go downtown, and we feed the homeless at lunchtime.
Great tradition.
And then we go back home and we do the Christmas story and talk about the reason that we're exchanging the gifts is in memory of the gifts that the three wise men gave to Christ.
Wonderful.
And I am so proud that they are in their 20s and they still meet me downtown whenever, you know, with their families and everything. And
yes.
We still feed the homeless together and then go back to my place and do it. And, you know, after, you know, I guess 15 years now, it's something you look forward to. And it,
absolutely. You know. Well, Chase, thank you so much. We're out of time on today's program. Folks, it's been a delight to be with you. From Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Hey, we still got folks on standby. TonyPerkins.com and give us a call, 1-800-225-4008. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. This has been Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.